I have had something cooking in my spirit for quite a few weeks. And I finally this week actually wrote it down in a draft form. Threw it over to Jeff to get his input on it. And he says, oh, good, that sounds like a good teaching for Sunday. God is good. And it's actually about healing and how healing is the same as salvation. And if we look at healing the way we look at salvation, a lot of times we can understand why we're not getting our healing. Because we're looking for, if we were to look at salvation the same way we look at healing, we get saved and glorified body all in one instant. Because we look at healing and expect it immediately. Now, God is in the healing business, and actually we were healed 2,000 years ago when Jesus hung on the cross. When he received those stripes for our healing, it was a done thing at that point. But even as salvation was a done thing at that point, people are still going into hell every day. People still die from illness every day because they don't come to it. You know, there's only one way to do it, through Jesus. That's the only way you can get saved. It's through Jesus. There's only one way. And there's only one way to get healing, through Jesus. And remember the word says about salvation, to the world, it's crazy. But to those of us who believe, it's the hope of our life. Well, the way you have to go to healing to our unregenerated minds is crazy. But once we understand it, it's life. Okay, so that's what all of this that follows is about. Okay? And we've all been there. I mean, talking about healing, we've all known someone who was standing believing God to heal them. Maybe I had a girlfriend who had cancer, and she died believing God for healing of cancer. Now, I don't understand what actually happened. Sometimes you don't get the healing because you're ignorant. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And sometimes that's what it is. Sometimes the rest of Hosea 4:6 says, because you've rejected knowledge. Sometimes we reject what God's saying to do. We're praying for healing, and he says, you know that teacher over here who you absolutely hate and you've never forgiven because of what they did to you, embarrassed you in front of the class? I want you to go over there, and I want you to bless that teacher, and I want you to start walking in forgiveness toward that teacher. And we go, oh, no, God, no. That's rejecting knowledge, and you perish because of it. I don't know what happened in my girlfriend's life, why she died believing God. Sometimes it's simply because she didn't know any better. It may have been she rejected something that God told her to do. We don't know. We struggle with the seeming absence of God's love, that he should take someone from us when we're faithful to trust him for healing. So where are we missing God when it comes to healing? And again, it's either we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge or we reject the knowledge. It's one or the other. God is not the problem. We are the problem. Okay? One of the biggest lies we have been led to believe when someone dies from disease or injury is to say, oh, all of his struggles are over. He's no longer sick because God has healed him. He's in heaven now. Well, see, the thing is, his spirit's in heaven. His spirit is in heaven and was never sick. Never. It was his body that was sick, and it's still here. It's still sick, and matter of fact, it's dead. So see, we're confused. I'm trying to move this mic away from my sputtering here. Does it bend? I don't want to. There. Is that better? Hopefully, let me do a... Yeah, see, I got it out of there. It was in the window of my speaking. So the physical body stays here. There is no healing to the mortal, the physical body, if it died with disease or injury and still functioning in it. So when someone up above, okay, we'll try that. If you die with a disease, from a disease, cardiac arrest or cancer or whatever it is, you died from the your mortal body died from the disease. You yourself never had it. Your mortal body had it. And therefore, your body needs the deliverance. Just like salvation, our spirit needed deliverance. We were captive to the enemy. We were subject to the curse. And when we received Jesus as our Savior, we received instant, we who were dead were now alive in Christ. That's our spirit. So it is with healing. We who are under the curse, because we have not appropriated that salvation, can be made alive again through Jesus. Romans 8, 9 through 11 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If," now, guys, I use King James. If you're more comfortable reading in something else when you go back to read these scriptures and study, please use the translation you like. But I'm using King James because I grew up old school. But in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Do you hear that? See, the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, and if he doesn't, we're not even Christians. And if Christ be in you, your body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, listen, this is the kicker. But if the Spirit of him who raised Christ... I'm sorry, let me use the correct word here, who raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. So because we're Christians, we have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. The Scripture says that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a guarantor of our salvation. When we receive Christ, our spirit is made alive because that Holy Spirit comes in and makes it alive. So that spirit dwells in us. And here in Romans, it says the body is dead because of sin. See, the spirit doesn't immediately make the body alive, because sin operates in this world. And the body is of the earth, and to the earth it'll return. The body, at this point, until you take dominion, the body is still subject to the curse, even though your spirit is alive. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Because Jesus, we accepted Jesus' righteousness, that spirit dwells in us, and that spirit can be life to our body. And it goes on and specifically addresses that. It says it quickens our mortal, our physical bodies by his spirit that dwells in us. So this is a process. Even as we go along in our Christian life, you know, we didn't become super Christians when we first started. You know, earlier pastor said that our spirit knows the scriptures. Our spirit speaks to God. Our spirit doesn't need regeneration once it's regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And this is true. But the physical body is subject to the physical world around it. And it has to be taught righteousness. It has to be taught how to walk in righteousness, one part of which is healing. Remember sudzo? We translated salvation, but it means deliverance. It means completeness. It means nothing missing, nothing broken. And that includes your physical body. Nothing missing, nothing broken. But just like a Christian walk gets deeper and deeper and deeper in the Lord, and you go from glory to glory to glory, higher and higher in your understanding of the scripture because you're renewing your mind, so your physical body gets trained to reject things. Reject sickness, reject illness. And it's a training. That's why we take those cards back there and we confess healing every night. We're teaching our mind to think healed. We're teaching our body, because when you speak it out loud, everything in you stops to hear what you're saying. We're teaching our body to walk healed. So sometimes healing, I was instantly delivered from alcoholism. But I had to go through a process in order to be delivered from smoking. Was God missing in my smoking deal? No, he did it a different way. You look in the Word, you see where one blind man is healed instantly. Another blind man says, I see trees. I see men as trees walking. And Jesus had to pray again for him. That was Jesus doing that. And if the Son of God had to pray again, sometimes we don't get the healing on the first time. But that doesn't mean that it's not there. I went off the reservation. My notes were totally different. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside you as a guarantor of your salvation. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified. That means you're on that cross. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me. He loves us, and he gave himself for me. So now you live, you don't live anymore in your body. In the physical body no longer doesn't see you living there anymore. He sees Jesus. If a body were self-aware and could look at your spirit, when he looks at your spirit, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see you anymore because you were dead. And now you're alive in Christ. And so Christ lives in you. If Jesus were there in your body, if Jesus actually was there and he saw that your body needed healing, would he say, oh, well, I guess it's time for dinner? What would he do? He loved us. See what that says? Who loved me and gave himself for me. So that spirit in you is trying to get that healing to your body. Every second of every day, even when you're sleeping, it's working. It's working. So we go back, and we go back into Romans 8, where it says, we live by faith now. Okay? I think that's where it was. So healing's part of salvation. That is settled. That's something we understand. We should be growing in the gift of healing, the same way we grow in the understanding of the gift of salvation. When we're attacked with illness and injury, we don't know any better, and we succumb to it when Christ has already paid the price for our physical healing. Remember, Hosea 4:6 says, we are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Prophetic statements in the Old Testament link salvation and healing. Look at Isaiah 53:5. And this one we quote all the time. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. When he was wounded for our transgressions, when he was bruised for our iniquities, when the sin was put upon him, those stripes he took healed us. That's when it happened. Now, we can understand that in our spirit. And after walking with the Lord for a while, we can understand that with our mind. But the body has to learn. And so we have to teach it. Jeff was talking about the body being a caboose. Sometimes that caboose gets a locked up wheel or something and doesn't want to go where the rest of the train's going. Oh, but I want. That's called the lust of the flesh. Well, the body's been taught, you know, it's flu season. Every year I get it. And the body hears you say that and goes, oh, I guess we're going to get it this year. And so when the flu bug comes and the body sees it, it says, well, I got to let it have its way. See, we don't declare, oh, no, the Spirit of God lives in me. Any flu bug that comes anywhere near me has to die because I am protected by the righteousness of Christ who redeemed me from the curse of the law. I mean, hear the difference in the two. One is an aggressive stance for the Lord, and the other one is a victim stance. And the word says we've been made more than conquerors. We're not victims. That statement about wounded for our transgressions, his stripes were healed, is also repeated in 1 Peter 2:24, where it says, who his own self, that's talking about Jesus, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And I just noticed this. I didn't notice it when I was preparing the lesson. But, you know, it says over here in Romans 8, 9 through 11, that if Christ be in you, your body is dead because of sin, but the spirit of is life because of righteousness. And it says that we live by the Spirit. And here it is over here in 1 Peter 2:24. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So let's go to Psalm 103. It's one of our favorite psalms. I often read this out loud, and I speak to my soul when it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. And what are his benefits? He forgives all our sins. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness. That is the hasid, the covenant love. That's what that Greek, that Hebrew word means, is his covenant love. And tender mercies. See, if his love doesn't cover it, he still forgives us. So he heals our disease. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like an eagle's. Here in this part passage of 103, Psalm 103, 2 through 5, you've got salvation and healing in the same breath. The scripture's talking about both of them at the same time. They are one and the same. When Jesus redeemed us on the cross, he redeemed our mortal body to walk in health, to walk in healing. Now, you've got lots of teaching on healing about what scriptures to stand on and that, but I'm trying to get you to understand as salvation is worked out in your life, so too You should let healing be worked out in your life. If salvation made your spirit alive instantly, because that which was dead was brought to life. Our bodies have been subject to the curse, and they're still in this world, and therefore they're still needing more understanding of our salvation in our physical realm before they can say, oh, okay, and start following along. Jesus often equated healing and salvation. If you look at Mark 2, this is just one instant of it. It's recorded where an incident where some friends brought a palsied man to Jesus. They had to cut through the roof, remove the leaves or whatever on the top of the roof to lower him down to Jesus because of the crush of people. Now, at first, Jesus told the man his sins were forgiven. And when the religious people heard that, they objected, saying only God can forgive sin. Jesus responded by healing the man. Now here's the story. Let's look at Mark 2, 5 through 12. When Jesus saw their faith, that's the friend's faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain scribes sitting there, reasoning in their heart, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way unto thy own house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. The people who witnessed the man's healing had never seen a healing done the way Jesus had performed it. Just because they'd never seen it, healing and salvation linked, didn't make it wrong. Let's look at verse 9 again. Whether it is easier to say, the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. He said, both of them are equally easy. And then in verse 10 he says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Healing often declares that to those witnessing it that Jesus has the power on earth to forgive sins. Do you understand that? You know, healing is already present in each one of us. We're called to walk by faith, not by sight. It's critical to find scriptures covering your situation. And you pray for God's leading. Then you walk in faith, following God's instructions, and you receive the healing. You know, there was the one who was told to go wash in the dirty river 7 times. But he wasn't healed until the 7th time he dipped. He had to finish the course of what God told him to do. There was no sin there. There was nothing. Maybe there was pride that had to be broken, and that's why Jesus had him do it. We don't know why Jesus said to do it, but we do know that he said to do it. And as the man was obedient to do it, the healing came. So sometimes God tells us to do something that seems completely unconnected to our sickness. And yet, there's something else going on in your life that's going to break the power of that sickness in you. And if you're obedient, you won't find it on the 5th dip or the 6th dip, but the 7th time you go under, when you come up, you're going to be healed because you were obedient. And that's the way you need to think. It's the way you need to put your trust is that whatever he tells me to do, I will do, and he will heal. I will see it in this life. When I get to heaven, it's my spirit. This body will still be here and I'll still be sick. This body needs to be well now. Okay? This body needs healing in this life. I'm not waiting for heaven because I'm not taking this body with me when I go. Or if I do, it's going to be changed. And see, then it's still not this body that's healed. It's the changed body that's no longer sick. So, let me look here. Sometimes our ignorance is intentional. You know, Hosea, again, 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. Sometimes it's intentional. I heard a pastor, a sermon recently where the pastor said, he knew of a lady who had gotten healed. And a few weeks later, she started getting sick again. And she had complained that, you know, when I was sick, everybody brought food and took care of me and everything. And now nobody comes to visit anymore. It was better when I was sick. Sounds like the Israelites coming out of Egypt, doesn't it? We should have gone back to Egypt, at least there. So understand, if those thoughts start coming to you after your healing, you need to argue with the enemy on that one and say, because God, this is just transition time. I'm going to have all sorts of people around me. It's just transition time. I'm in the desert right now, but the promised land is coming. The promised land is coming. I've been delivered out of Egypt, out of that sickness, and the promised land is coming. Okay? When you're fighting, especially somebody who's got a chronic illness, you're used to people going, oh, honey, I'm sorry, you know, sorry to hear about all your troubles, you know. Let me give you a hug today. You know, and then you get healed, and they go, well, glory to God, let's go. And it's, hey, where'd the love go? It's still there. It's just the sympathy's gone. So we don't want to wish for Egypt back. Galatians 6:9 tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Well-doing is following the Lord. Don't get weary in the fight for wellness. Don't get weary in the fight for health. If we faint not, if we keep following him, what does it say? In due season we will reap if we faint not. Now, I still, every time I pray for somebody, I still believe for that instant miracle. Instant miracle. But if it doesn't come, there's something else going on. And it could be that God, for instance, our sister went through cancer and it wasn't instantly healed. But now she has a rapport with people going through cancer and she can offer them hope. That where before, she might have offered them hope and they might have rejected it because she doesn't know what they're going through. Well, maybe that's what the Lord had going on there. I've heard of other instances where people were sick and weren't instantly healed, but they testified to doctors and nurses, and these people were witnesses of that healing. And they saw that God has not stopped healing. He is still in the healing business. It did not pass away with the apostles, which some teach. It is here now today, as active and alive as it was when Jesus walked this earth, when Peter and Paul taught the gospel. It's alive today, and it's alive here in the United States. and in Europe, even as Africa is seeing it. They see people raised from the dead. It's nothing to believe God for healing. Why? Because they trust him even when they don't see it. Because God is faithful. Again, Romans 8, 9 through 11 states, we are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. And now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwells in you. Do you see it? Yes. If the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body by the spirit that dwells in you. It's an if-then statement. We've got computers now. Computers run on if-then. That's the way they run. If this is true, then this happens. Okay? And it says, if that spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that's the Holy Spirit, dwells in you, and the Holy Spirit was given to us as a guarantor of our salvation, so the answer to that one is yes. So what's the then side of it? Then it shall quicken your mortal body by that spirit. It's not any voodoo, hoodoo. It's the spirit's life operating in your mortal body. It's like there was a, it's like you were a light bulb. And you know there's that incandescent inside. The old incandescent light bulbs had that wire on the inside that didn't, if it didn't have the power, it was dark. But when the power was put into it, the whole thing lit up. So much so you couldn't even see the power, the little wires inside anymore. See, the Holy Spirit is in us. And we're like that light bulb. Its light is shining through every cell, every atom of our body, quickening it, making it alive. Amen. So we need to walk in this, okay? The healing may not come today or even tomorrow, but don't wait for death to be healed. Don't let, you can even command death and tell it, no, I'm not going home yet. I'm not done with what God has put me on the earth to do. And it ain't time to go home. Satan, you are not robbing God's kingdom of a worker. If all I do is lay in this bed paralyzed and pray for the rest of my life on this earth, I'm going to do that and you're not going to interfere. But I'm going to be raised up from this bed and I'm going to walk and I'm going to tell everybody I know what a fool you are because you gave up what I'm hunting. You knew the face of God. He knew the face of God and gave it up. And we seek the face of God. Oh, that we should see his glory like Moses cried, God, I would see your glory. And his glory is that provision in our life of even healing. Let's walk in his glory. Amen. So how do we do it? How do we get from where we are at to where we are walking in divine health? Well, we've already started with those cards back there. And I have printed out these scriptures that we use today. And they're ones that I declare on a regular basis. Okay? And I'm not going to read the scriptures because we're getting kind of tight on time. But I'm going to go through them here. Isaiah 53, 5. Psalm 103, 2 through 5. Galatians 2:20, 1 Peter 2:24, and Romans 8:11. Now, I know that we read more than that. Psalms 103, 2 through 5. So these are scriptures that I meditate on a regular basis. And I actually declare them. I'll pick one and just chew on it all day long. Just chew on it. Just sit there and go, what did you mean there? What is it? And God will bring other scriptures and he'll open enlightenment. Just chew on these scriptures. Every time your mind starts to get slowed down or doing something else, remember the scripture says to think on these things. And think on these things and think about it. Pray about it. But in the mornings, if you want to go through these and declare these out loud, then you follow it up with a declaration of the word, a confession. And if you flip over the paper I gave you, it's on the other side. For those who are listening, are we going to try to post it, or we'll see about posting it. But we're going to go ahead and read that now. I have been crucified, and read it with me, guys, because it's amazing. You can actually feel life flowing through your body as you declare this to your body. I have been crucified with Christ. I, yes, me, was on the cross with him, and the life I now live in this body, I live by faith in Jesus, who loves me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I will no longer live as if I have to accept illness or injury, because my mortal body is no longer subject to the curse of the law. My Bible says it, and I believe it. Body, be healed in the name of Jesus. Jesus was wounded for my transgressions. By his stripes I am healed and was healed. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. My sickness is in the past. It no longer has a right to exist in my physical body. The Spirit of Christ dwells in me, and that Spirit quickens my mortal body. Do you hear that, body? Be made alive now. I do not forget all the Lord's benefits. He heals all my diseases. He delivers my life from destruction. I am crowned with his loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like an eagle's. Body, hear the word of God. There is no disease that can remain in this mortal body because of Christ in me, the hope of glory. There are no broken bones, sores, arthritis, heart disease, diabetes, or any other thing that is under the curse present in this body. Cancer cannot stand, nor any autoimmune disease, birth defect, or damage caused by a lifestyle I had when I was ignorant of the truth. It all must bow to the name of Jesus, who saves me and redeems me from the curse. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from sin, sickness, disease, and every other curse laid upon you at the cross. I receive my salvation. I receive deliverance. I receive healing and divine health. Thank you for filling my mouth with good things and for renewing my youth in the same way you restore in eagles, so that I am stronger, faster, and more able to live the life you've called me to live. I am the healed. I am the redeemed. This is the day you have made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, to those listening, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know him, you can receive Jesus. You can receive salvation. And all you have to do is confess your sins. Say, Lord, I have sinned. I have fallen short of your glory. In Jesus' name, please forgive me. I receive your sacrifice on the cross. It's mine. And I make you Lord of my life from now on. Rather than going my way, I'll go your way. From now on, rather than following sin, I will seek righteousness. For you are the mighty God, and you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy. And I thank you for this salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's also pray for those online for healing. Father, your word has gone forth right now, and I pray in Jesus' name that your healing be ministered to each one of these listeners. In Jesus' name, I speak healing to you, that the miracle of life be ministered to you in Jesus' name, that the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead quicken your mortal body, even as the word says. We thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we are healed. We thank you, Lord, that you are able. We will not frustrate the grace of God, that if we don't see immediate results, we think you didn't do it. You did it. It is a done thing. And we will stand in faith. We will trust you. And we ask that you speak to us and tell us what needs to be done if we don't see immediate healing. But we expect immediate healing, Lord. When Jesus laid hands on the sick, they immediately recovered. And we believe that that is going to happen in this situation. In Jesus' name, be healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Need my water. Thank you.
Praise God. Did you get some word today? You got some nuggets? You got some homework to do? You got something to take home and do? Because we have to train our soul, train our bodies, but we train it with the word, the washing of the water of the word. Some of you get Facebook posts by Loretta where she was in the hospital and the doctors were saying all kinds of things about what she had going on and was diagnosing her with dire situations. She and others prayed and declared the word of God. Not only is there no bleeding, not only is there no cancer, not only is there no anemia, like they diagnosed and declared over her, and she refused, she stood on the word. She has a higher red blood count now than she had before they started testing. She can take a deep breath and have no issues and problems and enjoy it. She doesn't have to walk around with oxygen like they were told her she was going to have to and various things. She has a clean bill of health because of walking in healing and divine health. John 10:10, the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. And everything he does is to steal, kill, and destroy. Everything he does is to take away what God is trying to give you. But Jesus came that we might have life, and that life more abundantly. We don't need to be laying in bed as a sack of bones. I'm just here, poor, pitiful me, but for the grace of God, we can be raised. I love that tying together how that the Holy Spirit in us quickens, makes alive our mortal bodies, because our spirit's already alive. Our bodies can be too. Amen. Jesus didn't come for an anemic church. He came for a church that is washed with the water of the word, and he does that to present her to himself without spot or without wrinkle. No disease. Remember John Lake? They put the plague in his hand. They tested it. It was alive and teeming. They put it in his hand and they tested it again, and it was all dead. Because he doesn't live under the law of sin and death, but he is set free by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And if we will get a hold of that, that it's already there, it's not something we have to have added to us. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Receive the blessing, the Rakit Kohanim in Hebrew and in English.
Yevereke karodonai veishmurecha yaradonai panav elecha vechunecha yesa adonai panav elecha vesham lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.
Is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. We've had the word on healing. We've had the prayer before on healing today. Is there any that would like to be anointed with oil? If so, come on up.
If you were ministered to by this sermon, what I ask you to do is contact us. That's right. Email us at contactus@fgfellowship.org. We would love to hear from you. We would love to pray with you. Make sure you have a Bible-believing church that you can go to. Give us a contact at contactus@fgfellowship.org. May you be blessed and walk with God in Jesus' name.